Hello.
Hello, David.
Oh, my
No,
hair's a mess.
honey.
Hey.
How's it in the trenches?
Oh, it's good. It's been surprisingly chill today, which is a little scary.
Oh.
You know, Jesse was pulled out to do a flu shot clinic.
And
And so it's just like, oh, okay. hold on, let me find somebody that can address that. Oh, it's fine.
I forget, did they erase these recordings, our little chats before, or are they part of?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure. Okay, where am I? I'm so disorganized.
Somewhere. Somewhere. Step. Step. Right now.
Close the door.
My husband went to get a haircut, so I've got charge of the bird. I hope she's going to be good during the meeting.
Old is she?
31. They go to 95, 90, 95. We're trying to find her next forever home.
God.
She's molting. She's pulling out all of her little feathers and the down. So she's very cranky at the moment. And I was able to get my flu shot yesterday over at Mission Bay.
So, what was that scenario like? Because my roommate was asking me, and I said, well, I don't know because I'm not at Mission Bay. So.
When you can go online for the day you want, and then they have blocks of time. You
Okay.
don't have to have an appointment, but they suggest because they want to know the crowd control.
Right.
So you click on it. You just walk up to the front of the building. They're keeping everyone socially distanced.
Right.
They ask you a bunch of questions. Have you had COVID? Yada, yada, yada. What are you there for? Then they send you down the little line. It took about 20 minutes or so.
In total.
Yeah.
And did you do the walkthrough or the drive-through?
They only had walk through. I didn't see any drive through over there.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Yeah, because the information went out for Mission Bay, but we didn't. In fact, the only reason why I knew about it is because Gabe was like, here's information. But then we got all the info actually this week, but it's been sort of like, well, this is what's going on. Well, this is what's going on. So I'm like, I don't know. Someone asked me today, a patient asked me today, and he's elderly. And I was like a lot older. And I was like, you know what? Why don't you schedule an appointment here at the shot clinic, at the injection clinic? He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, get all your stuff done at once,
Yeah,
just
while
don't
you're
deal with
here.
that. Yeah, while you're here, just don't deal with that. 'Cause if I'm not sure, I'm gonna send you out there. He's like 80 something. I'm not gonna send you out there, at this time if I'm unsure about the procedure. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, we have co-chair presence, we have council affairs presence, we have membership presence. We're just looking for someone from community engagement. And we should be set. So hopefully either Ben or what's his name? Eric. Oh yeah, Eric. Derp. Will be joining us. We can have quorum.
Ben can't be here today.
Oh, so he's excused. So we can still have quorum. Jack, you're a steering at-large member, correct? Jack?
I don't know if I'm steering at-large. I just came for the presentation.
Oh, okay, great. Well, we didn't determine with the co-chairs who actually would facilitate this meeting. I don't mind doing it since I'm already facilitating the summit, and so that we don't need to have any back and forth wrangling between the three co-chairs. They're on the honor system of trying to make sure everything is fair between them. So I think this could throw a wrench in the plans, and I don't want to do that. I don't even understand tools anyway, so. Okay. So let me get the agenda up. And then we'll do, actually, let's do introductions first before I go to the agenda. Can I ask who's calling on the iPhone?
Yes, hi, it's Bill.
Okay, we'll start with introductions. Mark Molnar, council staff. David.
Hey, David Gonzalez, community co-chair. Ed. And also co-chair of Council Affairs.
Ed Chitty, membership co-chair.
Melina.
Melina Clark, council staff.
Chuck?
Chuck Adams, council affairs.
Irma?
Irma Parada, council co-chair.
Jack?
Jack Bowman, council affairs.
Kevin?
Kevin Hutchcroft, HHS.
Bill?
Hi, Bill Bloom, HHS.
All right, thanks everyone. Let's take a look at agenda. Should hopefully see it there. I've always been curious about this. Can you all only see the agenda, or can you also see my laptop's desktop?
We can see the agenda, and we can see like what looks like the top of a Word document. But we can't see your open tabs or anything like that.
Okay. Anyway, so here's the agenda for today. Any changes or updates to this agenda? All right, if there's no objections, we'll approve by consensus. Let me pull up the minutes. All right, so at the last steering committee meeting, we have the pro forma stuff. 1 through 5. We had some check-ins from CHEP and HHS, and some updates there around ETE and COVID response, as well as updates around housing. We had our check-ins from our different committees, community engagement, Ben, membership, and Ed, and Council Affairs had no meeting. We had our end the epidemic presentation. If you all will recall, it was determined not to put that on that month's agenda. Instead, wait for October so that getting to zero could take a look at it. And we then have back-to-back presentations, or at least back-to-back agenda items from getting to zero, and then this presentation. So this presentation will be reappearing then in October so that you all can review it and move to approve if you so desire. And then after that was a presentation on viral suppression that Dr. Spinelli was unable to give. So that was me. And then a full council evaluation. Any updates, changes, or additions to the minutes? All right. Are there any, if there are no objections to approving the minutes, we will consider them approved by consensus. Stopping share. Are there any announcements? All right. The only announcement I have is, of course, a reminder that we have our prioritization allocation this Monday. It is, of course, in our regularly scheduled time. So you should hopefully be there already. This will be quite different than our past summits. This is very far from a summit. It's basically a meeting. So we're not going to be doing any, spending a lot of time on icebreakers, for example, or breakout groups. And we will have a couple presentations that unfortunately we'll be receiving after the prioritization summit. So that's my announcement. Last call for announcements. Nope. All right. Well, moving along. Anyone would like to speak as public, you can speak now or forever hold your peace until the next agenda item. No?
I just wanted to say I'm here for the presentation that we presented at Council Affairs that we didn't see, but I might leave after that's done.
Okay. Then let's go into committee and work group reports. We don't have anyone from community engagement here. I do know I was not at that meeting. I was at that meeting, was I? I don't remember. Lost in the fog of time. I know that they definitely talked about resource allocations and approved that to go on to the next committee. Melina, do you recall what else happened during that meeting? I don't think needs assessment was on that agenda because that's right now in that's right, that's happening right now. So there probably wouldn't be any updates. Were there any COLA updates?
I think the only updates around needs assessment and COLA were figuring out the logistics of doing the $50 gift cards. Mm. And the only COLA update I have was just Nay was really helpful with translating the survey, and we're just waiting on finalization of gift cards to send it out.
Excellent. And I'm sure the committee also reviewed the HCAP. No, actually they didn't, because I think Stephen was off. Yeah. Okay, that's that. Let's go to Council Affairs. With Chuck. You're on mute, my friend. You're muted.
We looked at the presentations that we're going to look at here today. We did the EPI report. Service summary sheets, resource allocation, like everybody did. And then we're going to be discussing more of it here today. Did we do anything else?
Nope, that sounds like it was all.
Yeah.
Would you agree, David?
Yeah, it was a lengthy meeting, but it was pretty much just like two or three topics, and that's it.
Let's move on to membership. Ed, would you like to report back?
Okay. Membership, basically, we continued our discussion on numbers of members coming from the same agency.
Mm-hmm.
That was our parking lot. There have been no real, Derek was the last person that we put forth to the council for approval. I don't have my notes in front of me. I apologize for that. But I believe that was about the biggest part of it right there. Ken, do you have anything else?
Yeah, actually, we didn't have that discussion because, as you recall, Dave, council staff, told us we couldn't have that discussion because it was on the parking lot and it couldn't be discussed if it was on the parking lot. It had to be discussed when it was on the agenda above. So it was on the agenda, but it wasn't on... but it was listed as parking lot. So that was one of the issues that we wanted to get things clear. I think the other was we made some suggestions for changes to the
allocations,
yes, language.
Oh, okay. Melina, could you send me those changes? Because the resource allocation document that I have is the one from the meeting prior to membership.
Sure, yeah.
Great.
Am I correct in that? Let's, before we jump through all kinds of...
It was more of an explanation that we added it.
Okay,
It was clarifying language, I believe.
Yeah.
And so it's in the steering folder, Mark, but I can just email it to you right now.
Yeah, if you can. I'm not connected to our Shanti server, so you could email that to me by the time we get to that agenda item, which there's time.
So Mark, can you qualify and answer that question for us? If something's Certainly. Listed on the parking lot, can't we have a discussion about it?
Sure. It'll be similar to the response I gave you in my email back to you. Nothing substantive should be discussed without it being on the agenda. We are a commission and a public policy body like any other. So that includes if the topic is not noticed. Is not even up for a vote. I mean, you'll see by going to any other commission that they don't have a free discussion time. Everything has to be per sunshine in case anyone, any member of the public or any government body would like to see in advance what is being discussed. So anything substantive, whether, like I said, if it requires a vote or not, needs to be noticed in advance. However, I have talked to the co-chairs and council and have a fix for this. For this particular issue around number of representatives from an agency, my understanding is that Ali will now be adding an agenda item that will specifically look at a policy that might include additional verbiage that the committee can come up with to make sure that that's always being looked into. Of course, it always is being looked into because council staff brings that up, but at the same time, it should be codified within an actual policy. So that'll be on the agenda. And I also recommended, and the co-chairs agreed, that there be a standing agenda item that says parking lot discussion, and that standing agenda item will be updated on a basis that will list the topics. And so, hey, no harm, no foul. Didn't happen last month, but it can now happen moving forward. And we just have to make sure as council staff that we're always updating that parking lot discussion so that when the discussion happens, it's about those topics.
Yeah, I think it was just as you've corrected, it was just one of those little snafus that nobody picked up on. But the very nature of parking lot is that you want to get to the parking lot when you've finished your other stuff. But if Absolutely. You can't talk about it. Thanks, Mark.
Sure, no problem. Easy peasy.
Thank you.
Wow, I'm so old to even use that phrase. Okay.
But you are.
I am. I did just turn 50.
You already started on 51.
Okay, there were no work groups, of course. And so now we'll go to the EPI report. This will just be me. This is going to be an all me meeting. I apologize in advance. Sharon was not able to make this meeting time, so I'll go over it and find the presentation. Bear with me just a moment. Oh, that's not the greatest format. Okay, well. It is what it is. Share screen. Okay, so that's not the best format. Let's see if I can make it a little bit larger so that we can. Can you at least see the first two slides? Well, hopefully. Okay, I'm gonna take that as a yes. So here is the presentation that was brought before Council Affairs, but it did not have current data because that was embargoed until the mayor's office could review or at least release. So these first two slides are not new. You've seen them before at Council Affairs. So now we have our data slides fully populated. So we see it, this is still so small. Is this small to you all? Let's see if I could just make it bigger. Yeah. Okay. Is that better? Okay, I see a head nod. Thank you, David.
It's better, but we can only see one and a quarter of the slides.
Oh yeah, I'll move it over. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
So this is our first new to the council data set for trends for diagnoses, deaths, and prevalence 2006 to 19. So you'll note here a decline, of course, in new HIV diagnoses, a slight increase in deaths. So moving to the next slide, trends among men by transmission category. So I'm not seeing a legend for identifying those colors, but I guess we're just gonna look at what it says here, MSM, down. ID drug users, slightly down, and I'm not sure what these are. Does Bill, do you have any insight what this bottom one might mean?
I'm guessing one of them is women.
It says among men, so.
Well, you go. They're definitely not heterosexual, unidentified.
Yeah.
Well, risk behavior. That's probably the other one. But you could ask them to put it in.
Yeah, we can. It is also all less than, looks like 25. So it might just be, in some ways, since they're seeing such low numbers, they're not even identifying. All right, moving on. Diagnosis trends around among women by transmission category. We see with heterosexual women going down. We see with PWID, intravenous drug users, also going down. And this mysterious other remaining flat. Moving on, diagnosis trends by race and ethnicity. We see them all except for API. So we see them all moving down except for API with looks like a very slight increase, perhaps one or two.
Mark, this looks like it's also missing another group because there's the light green and then there's also what looks like a dark green.
I wonder if that could be Native American. I'll give feedback that if all of these colors can always be identified, even if it's a sample size that's very small. Is that something that people would want, hopefully? Okay. Moving on. Trends in percent of annual diagnoses by race and ethnicity. So, yeah. Oh, I wonder if that was Latinx. Let's go back up, because I see gray for Latinx. Is there, that was noted. Never mind. Oh, well. Okay, so we see, of course, that white and Latinx remain the top numbers. Moving on, trends in rate of new diagnoses among men by race and ethnicity. We don't have that mysterious fifth color this time. See there. Okay, moving on. Trends in rate of new diagnoses among women by race and ethnicity. As we see there. Latina mainly staying steady, black going way down, although I'm sure there are other factors there, including the decrease of blacks and African Americans in San Francisco. And white looks like very slightly moved up, maybe just by one or two. All right, moving on. Number and percent homeless at diagnoses. Okay, seems like a decrease, which is very surprising. That will hopefully generate some follow-up questions on Monday. Summary of new diagnoses. Okay, that's hard for me to read. These 50-year-old eyes. There we go. Look, so big. Improvements in the HIV care continuum. This seems similar to the presentation we usually get from John Ainsley, which is of course only about Ryan White Part A clients and patients, while this is for the entire client patient base.
So actually, Mark, the one that John gives us for all Aries patients, so it could include other folks, but you're right, it's a safety net and someone's been touched by it. A service that they're registered at Aries, but slightly larger than Part A.
Oh, it is? Okay, thank you, good to know. What else is included outside of Part A?
Part B clients, Part C clients, and general fund, right?
Oh, HIV, okay, general fund is also included. Okay.
Yeah, those are that go through HIV health services where the funding comes through us.
All righty. Okay, the next slide is faster time to care indicators. And we see that literally illustrated. So from the doctor's appointment to care, 2 days. Doctor's appointment to going on art. Wow, that looks instantaneous. Huh. And doctor's appointment to VSP. So that's pretty good too. The viral suppression is... These are all really good indicators. All right, moving on. Median time diagnosis to viral suppression. Take a look at this. Oh, interesting. Okay, well, that's a complicated slide. Any questions about that particular slide or any feedback you want me to give, Sharon? All right, moving on. I can't see any raised hands, so you'd have to just speak out because I'm really focusing on the slide deck. All right, next.
Mark, this is Bill. One question you might want to give overall, because the numbers are decreasing, we're below 200 new infections, mm-hmm. is just to ask if they can be prepared to speak to what's clinically significant when you see a drop or an increase. So for instance, on that homeless slide where we see a downtick, be curious to hear from them, you know, what their P interval or confidence interval is that this is statistically significant. So maybe ask them to be prepared to be thinking about that.
Thank you. I'm gonna actually write myself a note right there. You know, my hands are a little tired. Melina, would you mind writing down what Bill just mentioned and emailing it to me? I'm afraid I'm gonna, thank you so much. You are the wind beneath my wings, Melina. All right, so let's move on. Mortality rates for persons 18 plus years, adjusted by sex and race. So we see with Black African American men, it went up. Also went up for Latino, slightly down for white men. Moving on, trends and underlying causes of death among persons with HIV. All right. Looks like non-AIDS cancer continues to slightly increase, as well as heart disease. Accidents, including overdose, also increasing. The term cause of death is HIV, it seems to be decreasing, which has always been in some way the loaded term. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Underlying cause of death was HIV by race. So we'll see the highest proportion. Well, actually they're all pretty equal with a slight higher proportion of Black and African Americans. All right, moving on. Health disparities, the PrEP cascade. This is an interesting slide. Similar to the HHS version of the quality assurance that we get from John Ainsley in some ways.
Mark.
Yes.
Any indication why the, hold on, is it trans women on PrEP at 6 months, has that really, really precipitous drop off?
Yeah, of course, I can only guess. Ed, it would be great if you could actually remind yourself to pose that question once you receive this presentation. That's, you know, sometimes these numbers drop for extraneous factors like challenges with receiving data, and sometimes they drop because they drop. So that should definitely be clarified. That would be a very good question.
Mark, on that question, if that's going to be asked, you might want to give them a little bit of a heads up, because I'm not sure the folks there are going to be necessarily be PrEP experts, and they may want to consult with Dr. Hyman Scott, who's done a lot of that work. So just suggest maybe just give them a heads up if that question's coming.
Thank you. Melina, if you don't mind adding that to what you'll be emailing me so I can then pass that on. Thank you. Moving on, proportion of PrEP eligible MSM currently on PrEP by race from City Clinic. Looks like API and Latino are the highs, but not by much. They're all fairly equivalent. Moving on, survival after stage 3 AIDS. So higher. Okay, that took a bit of a dip for, well, these are in different, I see. Sorry, I'm just clearly thinking out loud here since I'm not Sharon Pipkin. I'm receiving this data,
Mark,
right from you all. Yes, Ken.
So it seems to me, if my memory is correct, that there were some changes in the survival and deaths based on a new look Epi did on what causes death and things like that. Is there some way for us to get clarification if these numbers they're giving us include have been adjusted in some new way, which would explain when we see differences?
I don't know. Melina, can you add that to the list as well?
I'm sorry, I raised my hand, but you couldn't see. But that was the question around that whole issue of earlier on about deaths.
Okay.
I'm not sure I fully understood the question. Could you repeat it again?
Sure. When the Epi report gives us the number of deaths, and back of my mind, I seem to remember last year or sometime recently, there was a discussion that the epidemiologists were taking a more refined look at deaths of people who had HIV to discount those deaths that really weren't HIV related or not. And we had some discussion about that. And I'm just wondering if they can comment on that again, if some of the numbers we are getting have been adjusted so it's not all people who have had HIV who died, but all people who've had HIV and their death was related to HIV. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sounds like you're looking for more clarification on the number of deaths among people who have HIV versus the death was directly caused by HIV. Is that right?
Sort of. My understanding is that what we get now is the second of what you said.
Sorry, Ken, if I can help.
Sure.
There's a lot of politics, for lack of a better word, that go into somebody's quote-unquote death. And I think that shifted over the years. And I think having an idea, understanding whether or not that did shift, and if it did, how did it shift, and when did it shift?
This is a complex question, and I don't want, in some ways, Melina to just encapsulate it. It seems like also it's been a long-running one. Ken, would you mind, after this meeting, sending me an email? And I'll pretty much just copy and paste when I include it over to Sharon, because I really want to make sure what you're asking is captured, because there's a lot of nuance there around what they have seen actually equaling death by HIV versus other ways. Would you mind doing that, Ken?
Not at all, but if there are anyone else who remembers this discussion in the past, I'd appreciate their helping me with this. I don't want to take time that's not necessary.
Anyone else have any recollection of this conversation from last year's summit?
I recall the issue.
Okay. Then if you have anything to add to that, Thomas, please also, if you could email that to me.
Okay.
All right, next slide is health insurance status at diagnosis. So it looks like majority do have insurance, but a sizable amount, a quarter, do not. Or actually possibly more than a quarter if we don't know what missing equals. All right, moving on. Health disparities, viral suppression among PLWH 2019.
Mark, this is Bill. Just going back on the other slide, you may also want to have them clarify and reiterate. I believe what they're considering people with healthy San Francisco or healthy workers are uninsured, but maybe just key them in to make that clear to planning council members, particularly new members, because it's not considered insurance usually.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Right. So just make sure that they're aware. I'm just concerned that the folks may not understand that a number of those folks do get health coverage even though they're not insured.
Yes. So in other words, you're saying that the yellow might be a combination of true no insurance and healthy San Francisco.
Yes, which Mark is right, is not a health insurance coverage. I'm worried that newer members will think one out of five people can't get health care, which wouldn't be accurate.
It should be made clear. Hopefully Sharon will make this clear, but I'll mention in my email as well that the vast majority are of folks who have a diagnosis are able to receive care either through insurance or through the non-insurance provision of Healthy San Francisco at multiple places. So,
and Mark, can we also ask them just as a comment on the missing, you know, when we're talking about 10% across the board, maybe if they could give us some reason for a 10% loss of that awareness?
I can. I don't know how much they'll be able to drill down on that because this is probably what they're getting reported to them by the what the primary care clinics are feeding into their system whose name I've forgotten. But I can. I'll put that in my email to her, of course.
Well, even that is clarification. So yes, thanks.
Oh, okay. So back to this slide. Overall viral suppression rates. Strong numbers for men, some challenges clearly with women, with Black African-American. Although the challenges are still at 86% viral suppression and 87%. It looks like the biggest challenges are unsurprisingly around the homeless population with 71% being virally suppressed. This was actually reflected briefly by Dr. Spinelli as well. Moving on. Communities and viral suppression among PLWH. And so we'll see here again, the largest disparities are with the homeless population. Similarly, there are some disparities with intravenous drug users. All right, moving on. Diagnosis trends among homeless persons.
I'm sorry, Mark, can you go back just the last two slides again, just quickly do them? Because I'm wondering if they're comparing apples to apples there, because there's a pretty high rate in that.
Here's that, the main slide where it really breaks down. Okay. And then here's what they're doing with the graphs.
Yeah, so it looks to me, I'm sorry, I'm looking at my iPhone. It looks like on the first one, they're segmenting it. So like 100% are tested. And then of the 100% that are tested, X percent had a viral load. And then of the next, go just the last two. Yeah, because those are super high percentage rates. So those are probably the folks that are in care that had a viral load test and were started on ART. If you go to the next slide.
It looks like among all living cases, if we're looking at that 39%, what they're drawing that from, right?
Yeah, it looks like the rates here, 70, if you look at 71%, and then you look at the rates on the previous slide where they're at 90% kind of across the board.
That's not helping. I just have to go back and forth on this. So
I'm not looking at that.
Was a 39%. Let's try to track that somewhere else. So let's see.
Oh, I see. They're using the middle category. Okay, yeah. The middle column there. Okay.
Does that make sense?
And then they're measuring. Yeah, it does. So I'm sorry. I'm looking on a little slide. Now that makes sense. So that maybe some feedback. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the only one that usually you read towards the far right for the viral suppression, and they're meeting the middle column. So and maybe it's helpful to let them know that that's where they're pulling the next set of data from.
Yeah. Let's look at Latinx. Yeah, that's clearly what they're doing because I just
yeah
with Latinx and there it is.
So that's following the cascade there without controlling for the resetting the bar at each step of the cascade, which makes sense.
So it's clear then that the feedback really should be clarification around this, not this slide, but the following slide about where they're specifically drawing that numbers and why.
Or just like that it's the middle column that will follow into the next thing and the reason why for it, not the column on the far right. Yeah.
So moving on, back to this slide. It's like a very slight decrease.
Yeah, and again, just given the number of 200, is that statistically significant from their perspective?
Yeah. Okay, moving on. More information about homeless persons, in this one compared to non-homeless. This is an interesting slide. I'm not sure I've seen this slide before. Okay, moving on.
Mark?
Yes.
Again, some of this goes back to the fine nuance of what is homeless, because I know there are certain categories that we might think of as homeless. So maybe if they could just define homeless in terms of this slide. In other words, you know,
are they, are they literally homeless, or are they say living once a month in an SRO? Are
right,
they
exactly.
surfing in other, maybe in the Aries report, I forget where we've seen this. We've actually seen that exploded out as far as what each one means. And so, yeah, that's a, homeless could mean many things, right? So we should get that information. Do you have any insight into that, Bill?
Yeah, I don't know exactly which one they're using, but you're right. So there's kind of, there is the Aries definition, which is fairly similar to the federal definitions, the categories, you know, the healthcare for the homeless is kind of based on that. And that's how we get our FQHC rate. I'm imagining, but I'm not sure if they're using the same kind of points that, you know, it's considered often marginally housed as a middle category versus street homeless. So exactly. I would just ask them. I think it's a great question.
Great. Can you add that, Melina, just a definition and clarity around what homeless means? All right. So, we even see it here, actually, in this next slide. Perhaps this even answers it, because it says homeless or living in SRO. But we want that clarified. So this slide is specifically homeless or living in SRO as a compare and contrast. So if they're doing the same thing in this slide, I feel like I'm a detective trying to figure out the clues here. If they're doing the same thing in this slide as that slide, makes me think then that this slide does not include SRO. Right? Because now they're including homeless or SRO. But you know what? Why even wonder why? I'll just ask her. Moving on. I think this is a slide that Council Affairs actually saw. All right, moving on. Four laboratories reporting positive and negative results. Okay, I'm not sure why this slide is here. Perhaps most of that will be part of a verbal update. Okay, clearly these are just blank sheets that needs information. I'll follow up on those two and those three. Okay, not quite finished. And these four is what I'll be following up on. Can I get five? Yes.
I think all the last ones were blank.
Yep, I would agree. They're definitely blank.
Yep.
Title slides, okay. I think she'll be working on the summary as well.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I'm not sure, but my guess is that they're borrowing from different presentations and that maybe those needed to be edited out or weren't necessary for the planning council. Although I'm not sure they look.
I'll make sure I point it out. Gently.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I stop share, are there any particular slides you'd like to review again? No. Okay. Stopping share. Anything occur to anyone that you'd like to be added to my email to Sharon as far as just updates to this presentation?
Mark, I think the only thing, if they want to comment on just observable kind of larger trends or questions that they have going forward.
Trends. Okay. Can you be more specific?
Yeah. Like, do they see kind of how would, you know, oftentimes there's a summary kind of a trend that it, you know, we're seeing an increased level in homeless people. We're seeing a decrease. So just kind of, and also if this is a raised question for them to look at. And I'm sorry, I have an 8-year-old in the background. Hopefully you're not all hearing that.
We are. This is the world of Zoom. I'm used to hearing
it
kids. I kind of love it. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense, Bill. Thank you. All right. If there are no more thoughts on this one, then heck, we'll just move on. It's slower, shorter than I thought it would be. All right, so I'm going to share a screen again. We'll go right into resource allocation. Thank you, Melina, for sending that over to me. Appreciate it. Oh, Jack, hi. Hi, Jack. What's up?
I'm going to say goodbye.
Oh, okay. Bye, Jack.
Bye.
All righty. Okay, share screen with the resource allocation scenario. So this is three motions separate, of course, coming from membership. We'll just go piece by piece, and these will have to be roll call votes, of course, because these involve dollars. So we see increased funding scenario is pretty straightforward. If this miracle occurs, the council will reconvene to discuss this scenario. This is on the floor, so it doesn't need to be moved and seconded. Is there any discussion of this item? All right, David Gonzalez.
Yes.
Ed Chitty.
Yes.
Thomas Noble.
Is this my half vote or my full vote?
I think we'll round up for you.
All right, let's go yes.
Chuck Adams.
Yes.
Bill Bloom.
This would be a joyous meeting to have, yes.
Right. Ken Pierce.
Yes.
Juba Kalamka.
Yes.
Irma Parada.
Yes.
All right. So our next one is for flat funding in the statistically improbable event that we receive the exact same dollar amount. If funding remains at that level, service category resource allocation will remain level across all categories. As with the prior motion, this is on the floor coming from membership. Any discussion? All right, we'll go to the roll call vote again. Irma Parada.
Yes.
Juba Kalamka.
Yes.
Ken Pierce.
Yes.
Bill Bloom.
Yes.
Chuck Adams.
Yes.
Thomas Noble.
Yes. Did we miss my better half in the previous vote?
I don't see. Oh my gosh. There's a second page altogether. Wow. Okay. Hi, Kevin. Oopsie. So sorry. I thought I had you all on one screen. Oh, how embarrassing. Kevin, do you agree with the first vote with your...
My lesser half can have my promise.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Thomas, for pointing out my error, per usual. Thomas and Kevin for flat funding. Yay or nay?
Yeah. Yes. Yay.
Ed Chitty.
Yes.
David Gonzalez.
Yes.
All right. Now we're moving on to the more realistic funding scenario, decreased funding. This is a motion which received additional clarifying language in both the Council of Fairs, I think, and membership. I'll read it. In the event of decreased funding for the first 10% of reductions, allocation for services that are covered under California's Essential Health Benefits Package will be reduced proportionally. If further reduced allocation is required, reductions will occur proportionally across all service categories. If a reduction over 15% occurs, the council will reconvene to discuss this scenario. These cuts will be considered in the context of city general fund backfill. Discussion. Okay, there's no discussion. I'm wondering if Ken or Ed would like to provide some clarity on the, looks like the added language is in bold from membership. This might just be for me because I wasn't at membership. I want to be able to speak to this at the meeting on Monday if there are questions.
So Mark, I think it was in bold because of your advanced age and we wanted to highlight.
Very nice.
That you could read it. No, I think that the reason I think we talked about this was that we knew that in the past, we sometimes forget that so much of what drives our decision-making is kind of the hidden understanding of the backfills that the city and county give us to offset cuts we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. And with this new environment and the huge budget deficits that the city's having, that the state's having, that everybody's having, that we needed to kind of add this caveat because in the case of decreased funding, this would not be appropriate if, in fact, we all, this decreased funding scenario would not be appropriate if the city also cut back on what they may have backfilled in the past and they know could no longer backfill. So our sense is, just so it throws, we want to make sure we remember that there are a number of things that affect this decision. And right now, this decreased funding decision is based on a continued city and county backfill of prior cuts. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
And I could, just to add something, you know, I think most of the general fund, the backfill with general fund has moved into the base budget, meaning it's ongoing. But I think you are right, Ken, there is a real possibility that we could just get an overall cut to our general fund, and or if there is a further cut, you know, from the Part A award, it may not be able to be backfilled, which I think is probably the larger concern. So just a little bit of clarification. Yeah. So it wouldn't be that they would stop. Yeah. So go ahead.
And general fund is not something we have any, I mean, y'all have been great about letting us put our 2 cents in, but we really don't have any funding authority, if you will, correct?
That is correct. And we try to view the funds as a whole thing, not necessarily by the funding source, but you are right, statutorily, the Planning Council does it.
Yeah, we are, of course, only advisory. However, I mean, it should be pointed out that even since pre-merge, HHS has followed the prioritization and allocation scenarios that the Planning Council has provided.
So as an example, if we had another severe outbreak of COVID-19, such that it caused huge costs to the city, then this is where the city may have to reconsider their general fund backfills.
Yeah, perhaps.
Is that correct?
Correct, okay. But it wouldn't be the backfills, it would be the amount of funding going to HIV. Yeah. So once it becomes part of the base budget, it becomes built and it becomes part of the budget, they don't even look at it as backfill, but they might just cut our general fund budget. They might cut a number of general fund budgets.
So I'm wondering, it would be okay if this clarifying language was further clarified to say these cuts will be considered in the context of city general funds, period, or potential city general fund cuts, because having the word backfill in there in some ways makes it a little bit incorrect, because the backfills, as Bill mentioned, are part of the baseline now. Does that make sense?
Is that true for all of them, Bill?
Yeah, so usually what happens is a backfill is for the first year and then it becomes part of the base budget. So I just think I think not everyone understands what backfills are. So I think just the context of potential city general fund cuts to HHS.
That's fine. That change is fine with me. So just cut out backfill.
Yeah, and put in cuts. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Melina, if you wouldn't mind update. No, actually, I'll update that one. I can remember that myself.
So a question to Bill. Bill, is this unnecessary? Are we really adding anything?
Well, you guys always have the right. I mean, if there's enough of a motion to revisit the prioritization and the allocation. But I think it's a good thing to signal here that, you know, if the budget gets a far worse, you know, all of our budgets that are not grant funded are, you know, would be looked at for potential reductions. So okay. I think it's fine to kind of say, and this is not specific to HIV, it's any general fund.
All right, thank you.
Sure. I mean, I should also say, you know, we were looking at $1.5 or $1.6 billion reduction in 2 years, and yet we were able to save it, so there weren't any cuts this year. So I don't want anyone leaving right now thinking it's likely that that's going to happen, but I think it's important for us to know it could.
Yes, although my understanding is that the SUPS did just pass the budget without HHS. Is that correct, Bill?
Well, they're going to make the, you may have better information than I have. They're not officially releasing it to October, but our overall sense actually, it's not just HHS. It looks like that's for DPH. It looks like that's across the board particularly for community funded organizations. But I will know more officially in October. You may have better recognizance than I do.
Okay, I'm not saying anything further on that one. It sounds like this will be fine as is with that slight tweak. Any more discussion? All right, so roll call vote again for the motion on the floor that does not need to be amended because that was simply clarifying language. So we only amend if it changes the substance of the motion. David Gonzalez.
Yes.
Ed Schitte.
Yes.
Chuck Adams.
Yes.
Kevin Hutchcroft and Thomas Noble.
Yes.
Ken Pierce.
Yes.
Juba Kalamka.
Yes.
Irma Parada.
Yes.
Did I get everyone? Ken Pierce. Did I already?
Yes, you did.
Okay, great.
Yes. You left me out, Mark.
Bill Bloom.
Terrible. Yes.
All right, we're done with this, and we are really motored through this. We only have, I think, one more agenda item. Let me pull that up. Just bear with me. Okay. I think we only have one. No, we have two. We have to review the full council agenda as well as the evaluation results from last month's meeting, for last month's meeting. So let me see which one is coming first.
So, if I might ask a question, Mark, I joined a little late, so it's the same kind of issue, because it seems to me there was at some point discussion of having steering talk a little bit about what we were doing to help folks with Zooming, and a little bit of this was something we experienced in our membership meeting about, you know, do people understand all the aspects of Zooming? Are they asking questions? You sent out a questionnaire about it, and I just wonder, are we going to talk about that at all?
That's not on the agenda, but, you know, there is actually, it's actually part of the evaluation. So let's just shoehorn that one in there. It's one of the questions. So that might be an appropriate spot for us to share. And I could actually provide an update around a particular council member and two others and how they're doing. That seems like a good time if that's okay.
And you've gotten feedback from people?
I've gotten feedback from a person. One person only. I don't know if Melina received anything additional besides that one person. No? Okay.
And you did miss that we were going to address tardiness with members.
That's okay. Is that a joke? Or was that?
It is.
Okay. Sorry. Not seeing your delightful face, I'm not sure when you're being wry or real. Kevin, I notice you have your hand up.
I just wanted to mention we had talked about the SurveyMonkey that we send out on the fog perception of client needs during COVID. And we've got a bunch of more responses, so I'm going to send you all the link for those results.
Oh my gosh, Kevin, I am a terrible facilitator. I totally skipped your agenda item.
All right.
Why are people stopping me when I'm doing bad things? This is terrible. Okay, let's just pretend I didn't do that, and now go to the HHS report.
That basically is it. I'll also send just a couple of thoughts about the additional results, and people can the SurveyMonkey if they want. And then a couple of other things was, San Francisco is going to be undergoing an audit on privacy and security within the AIDS Drug Assistance Program. In I think the first week of October, and there was a HRSA webinar this month that went over eligibility criteria and recertification, clarification around eligibility and statutory requirements that cannot be changed about recertification, but that are relaxing certain ways to achieve that recertification. For example, they are accepting non-in-person signatures, DocuSign, and that sort of thing, among other things. Now we're still looking for the PowerPoint presentation from that, and when we get it, we'll send it out to you all and obviously the providers as well. And we did set a couple of trainings, QM trainings, for motivational interviewing and trauma-informed care online. So these will be the first ones we've done online. That's set for October 23rd and November 6th. And I think that's it, Mark.
Okay, I can share, if you'd like, the survey link so that people can see the results of that FOG survey. If that's
yeah, that'd be great.
Let me get to that. Give me just a moment. Okay. There it is. All righty. Share screen. All right. Hopefully you all can see that. So we see here, you must have the paid survey monkey since you can do things that I can't on yours. Huh. Okay, so we see here that most, actually it looks like the majority of responses for the question, clients have had increased need for food is agree or strongly agree. After that, increased need for housing, of course, agree and strongly agree. Clients have had increased need for transportation. This is a bit less so. It's mainly agree or strongly agree with a little bit of neutrality. Clients have been able to connect this to the services they usually access. Majority is usually or somewhat with a sizable amount of not really. Have you been able to connect with your clients? It's been challenging. And fairly regularly are the two lead ones with a nice amount of yes, regularly. What other needs have you observed during the COVID-19 emergency? Bathroom and shower access, sorry. Socks and hygiene, housing and mobile medical services, water, hygiene, clothing, socks, masks, all caps, and other supplies, as well as access to shelter-in-place hotels and safe sleeping sites. Imagine if your means for livelihood was interrupted. There's a high need for mental health care and medical as well. The lack of service is communicating with each other, and so we can help each other fill gaps in services and plan around each other's schedule. Medical care needs, basic hygiene necessities, PPE. There's an uptick in MH and substance abuse issues, mental health and substance abuse issues. Other needs include benefit navigation as clients move or lose jobs, better access to medication delivery, mental health support.
Mark, you're cutting in and out.
Oh, okay. Is everyone else experiencing me?
Mark, can you hear? You're cutting in and out, Mark.
I'm having no trouble hearing you.
You're having no trouble? Okay.
No trouble here.
That might be on your end, Ken. You're frozen to me too, so it looks like it might be on your end. Okay, harder to connect with harder to reach clients who lack stable housing. Clients are feeling more isolated. Some lack access to computers, which makes telehealth difficult. There's a loss of IHS workers, increase in isolation. There's an interest in newly diagnosed HIV support groups using Zoom. There's needs for printing and technology and mail service. There's a lot of isolation and anxiety. Main issue is that clients do not have cell phones or are unable to drop in. Digital inequity is very high. There is difficulty conducting business at the Social Security office, other civil service delays, access to technology in order to make appointments by phone. Social connections are also needed, access to accurate info about COVID-19. People still need financial support to pay rent. Oh, this is a long one. Do I have to read all of this? That's a lot. Okay, I'll read the top part. That's all caps. The community needs an overdose prevention program, AKA safe injection sites. If you want to know more about what this person said, please email Kevin or use the survey link in the chat. Clients want support groups. They need assistance with technology. They need PPE and hygiene, mental health resources, as noted by other folks. They need managing physical meetings with a clear risk assessment. Dental services and eye care still needed. Need access to restrooms and showers for homeless people. There's a lack of Wi-Fi and hotspots. The mayor needs to stop misappropriating money. They're the biggest roadblocks. Clients are not tech savvy, and now that everything is virtual, they just don't participate. Many clients live in SROs or other limited housing institutions. They're looking for means to socialize and for guidance on how to continue in their treatments. Okay, we're near the end here, I think. There was that long one. Where were we? Increased need for assistance at home, cleaning and organizing chores, mainly because IHSS is working very slow during this health crisis. Need better internet connection. Increased symptoms of anxiety, depression, isolation. People need more community and socialization. They're feeling isolated, sad, and scared. People need more mental health therapy. Case management as well for HIV negative folks. Okay, that was a lot. Maybe I won't do that for the remaining question, and you can link over if you'd like to check it out yourself. This question is, what are the biggest challenges you and your clients have experienced since the COVID-19 emergency began? Although I do want to point out this phrase, all of it. There's a lot of responses, so if you're curious, I would click over. Look at all those.
So Mark, for looking over, can we have Kevin just send us an email of that? Because it's hard to, once you close this out, you can't go back and look in the chat, and trying to look at it at the same time we're trying to do this is an impossible feature.
Kevin, would you mind doing that? That sounds fairly simple. Can you just email the link to everyone who is here today?
I'll tell you what, the link is in the chat, actually, but I can send it to Melina if she can send it to everybody here. I don't think I have everybody's, you want me to email it? I don't
just
actually.
Just send it to Melina.
Okay.
Less work for you, I guess.
I think we know who works for who here.
Anyway, and that said, Thomas, it's your turn. Well, do you have a CHEP update for us?
I do not, Mark.
All right. Well, that's easy.
Sorry about that. I will bear it for the full council.
Oh, we'll be at the full council, so no need, unless you'd like to email.
Okay.
Yeah, our reduced version of a summit meeting, which means I took out everything. There's no council staff update. There's no State Office of AIDS update. There's no general updates. Much as
great. The
summit. So no need to worry. Just relax this weekend.
All right.
Okay, so now that we're back on track and my error has been hopefully resolved, we can now go to what? Already lost sight of what we're doing next. Meeting evaluation. Excellent. Okay. I'm going to be sharing screen again and reading things out loud again. I think that's it. Let's see. Yes, it is. Okay. One moment. Did something wrong there. SurveyMonkey. Okay. Alrighty, here we go. So you'll see here the free version of SurveyMonkey. Does not look quite as nice as paid version. So first question, information received prior to the meeting adequately prepared me for the meeting. For the most part, it was, I agree. Two people said, I somewhat agree. There were no comments. The meeting was run efficiently by Irma Parada. That's 100. Irma 100% said yes. I'll read aloud the effusive praise. Thanks, Irma. Great job. Great job with first meeting as co-chair running the meeting. Although I will say it wasn't your first virtual meeting.
Yeah.
Irma, way to go, Irma. Irma did
very generous.
Got a nice assist from Mark.
From Mark.
Irma, Well done. It is encouraging watching how much more at ease and confident in this role Irma has become in a short period of time. Sets an excellent example to encourage other new members to step up to leadership role.
Aww.
That's wonderful.
That's nice.
Good job, Irma.
Very grateful.
In the discussion during the meeting, I felt my point of view was adequately expressed and understood. 100% said yes. Agenda was well planned. 12 said yes. 1 said somewhat agree. There was 1 comment. I would rather table or wait for a speaker's presentation than have someone else read our handouts, which we can do ourselves. Not blaming the substitute, me, but it loses the nuances and emphasis of the original presenter and question with discussions are severely compromised enough warrant waiting. Point taken. However, I do want to point out that if I had not done that, Matt himself would not have been able to do that. He was calling in from his car. He was not sharing screen. So if I hadn't done that, you wouldn't have received any presentation. So I want to point that out to whoever made that comment. It's understandable, though. I am not a doctor, and there are clearly slides that I did not understand. But it was a special meeting. HRSA mandate presentation by Mark Mulner was well-prepared and relevant to the HCPC. Very nice. 100% said they agreed. And there's some nice compliments for me. Thank you, those people who said those things. Moving on, the viral suppression report from Dr. Matt Spinelli was well prepared and relevant to the HCPC. 10 said they agreed, 2 said they somewhat agreed, and 1 said they disagreed. Well, hopefully comments will reveal to us why they felt that was not well prepared and relevant. Although, okay, grace under pressure was 1 comment. That's mysterious. This was great. Excellent. The presentation was good and the topic was interesting and relevant. It doesn't seem like it could have been helped, but it would have been preferable for the speaker to be on time. Of course, absolutely. I do want to point out that Dr. Spinelli was coming directly from his practice. I mean his work. But I don't want to rationalize either. Big thanks to, well, thank you. The concepts, train of thought, and full comprehension were lost in the confusion of Mark presenting than Dr. Spinelli's late show interjections. If a presenter does not show at their appointed time, then let's table forward in the agenda. And by the end of the meeting, if they don't show, let's table for the future and wait for another day. We have the written presentation, so the information is there to review on our own while we wait. All right, that was looks like the same responder as the first one, perhaps. All right, what worked well for you during this meeting? The flow. All good, well coordinated regarding adjustments per Zoom meetings. 1.5 hours was great. The entire meeting went well. Zoom seems to make interactions during the meeting easier. That's nice. The interaction between council members, all caps, council staff, and presenters is seamless. As a new council member, this is helping me greatly in my integration. That's nice. Communication was wonderful. I actually think the Zoom meetings are going great, exclamation point. I think the meetings are tighter. Tech issues seem to have been resolved. We know everyone can see the slides and hear the speaker. There's no tech issues with folks from Sacramento, etc. 2 thumbs up. Zoom is getting better. Length of meeting worked well. Zoom can be very efficient in expediting the process components of our meetings. Thank you for the DoorDash council meals. That's a lot of effusive praise for a time that's actually very challenging, I think, for a lot of people moving to virtual. Anyway, we'll move on. And this is where we'll also go into where Ken, well, we'll wait till we finish, then we'll go into what Ken brought up. My needs as council member are being met during this time. 12 said they agreed, 1 said they somewhat agreed. And so let's look at their responses. I'm all good. Thank you. I think the virtual meetings are going great. Seems to be a theme. With COVID-19, we need data on showing HIV-positive individuals who have tested positive for COVID. There must be a way of offering HIV/STI tests after getting testing for COVID. If not at all COVID sites, at least at designated ones. We can't end the epidemic without testing. With testing. Okay. I appreciate that meetings are shorter and there is flexibility around people being on screen. Yeah. A long one. Okay. Well, I'll read this one. I think we need to discuss the inequities and fallout from those who constantly use and are experts with Zoom as opposed to those who are occasional users or call in by phone without video. The issue? Number one, find a way to identify those participants who can only call in without video, now only noted as a phone number on our screen. Or, less efficient but reasonable, ask and remind members to identify themselves each time before speaking. Co-chairs or presenters reduce most of this problem if they are reminded to call on and identify speakers by name. Two, Zoom chat comments or questions are efficient and least disruptive during presentation, but it ignores those folks who call without video, those who are occasional users and aren't as adept at understanding chat alerts or switching back and forth between chats and speakers. It disrupts focus on the live meeting when members use chat to make constant comments and ask questions rather than raising their hands to speak up. Somewhat similar to sidebar conversations, comments of the past. Are we suggesting members be double focused constantly on the meeting and the stream of sidebar chats, assuming everyone has proficiency with Zoom and ignoring phone-in participants? We either constantly switching back and forth to keep up with chat alerts in order to keep current on questions and suggestions, or we can now ignore chat with the assurance that our speakers will read aloud these chats or comments or questions. Otherwise, many of us have no clue about what is generating the speaker's response. Can we ask these chatters to raise their hands and voice their questions aloud after the presentation, in addition to their capturing their thoughts and questions, nuances on chat if they so choose? Three, can we set group norms for video Zooming? The essence of why we use Zoom was our best alternative for much better communication of a live face-to-face meeting. This alternative takes a step back, loses the concept, and becomes simply a phone conference when participants cut their video throughout the entire meeting, even when commenting at large. Can we set some expectations around visual participation? I understand about Zoom burnout for those using it constantly, but it feels somewhat like in the past when we had to ask our colleagues to limit cell phones use during our face-to-face meetings. Perhaps encouraging members to participate with full video mode for everything except presentations sets a reasonable compromise. It almost seems lazy or rude not to switch back to live video when it is obvious you have that ability before making your comments and asking questions. Okay, that person definitely.
I wonder who that was.
Oh, Ken, are you self-designating? Okay.
Well, this is the question that I wanted us in line with what I talked about us talking.
Oh, sure. Well, then let's come back to that. I think this is all good stuff. It is also important to point out that a lot of the responses, perhaps already, seem to be appreciating the Zoom meetings, but that's not to diminish yours, but it is important to point that out as well. And before we go on to that conversation, overall, this received a 9.5. This is especially high, isn't it, Melina? I think so. Surprising, despite the kerfluffle at the end there. Okay, I'm gonna stop share, and let's discuss what evaluation results, because we're still staying on the agenda item, wants us to discuss around how council members are participating virtually. And I'll give at least my update before people want to jump in if they'd like to, which is that so far, two of the three laptops have been distributed. Council staff has spent time with each of the two people, Charles and Billy. No need to be secretive about that. Allie spent time with Charles. I've spent in-person time with both Charles and Billy. So hopefully that's progressing along. They have been able to make meetings. They were able to make them before, but now they have their own laptops to make them on. And then I have just spoken with another council member who was having hotspot difficulties in Marin. Talked to her a couple times this week. And that might not be an issue around a hotspot. That actually might be an issue with the actual device. So she's looked at. Other than that, I'm sure there are other issues, but those are the issues that I have been made personally aware of and or have had a part in trying to resolve. All right, looks like Kevin has his hand up. Kevin's also muted.
Sorry, that was before.
Oh, let me.
I will lower your hand.
All right, discussion. Any discussion around?
Yes.
Ken.
So some of the things that popped to my mind here are like some of the issues we've had was, and I'll use names, was one of our co-chairs at membership not being able to get strong enough signal from her internet, even though she had a device. And I'm just wondering, you know, if for folks that live in areas where they don't, and if you keep seeing me switch off and on, it's because I'm trying to get some, because my internet is not stable, and I'm not asking for myself, because I've learned to borrow my neighbors whenever I have this problem. But for other folks, is there anything we can do to have a laptop with an internet, strong internet connection, or give them?
Yeah, to respond to that, Ken, I'm not sure if you heard what I mentioned right before you spoke, but I spoke directly to that. I've been talking with Elaine, who is co-chair, about her challenges, certainly offering a hotspot part of the conversation, but she has that. She thinks her challenge is literally with her notepad, and it might be because she's not switching over to her internet, and she's instead using her phone's Wi-Fi connection, and she is in a location where her Wi-Fi where her phone's Wi-Fi is very bad. So she can't figure out how to do the settings on her notepad. So she's literally at T-Mobile Health Center right now. She had planned on coming to this meeting, but instead thought, you know, I'm gonna have them walk me through the settings because I can access internet, but for some reason these Zoom meetings are not working out. So that's still in process.
Well, but that it's beyond just Elaine. I mean, I also noticed one of our longstanding members always comes in by phone with no video. And I know she's from the Southeast Corridor. And I just wonder, have we reached out specifically and said, hey, you always come in just by phone. There's some loss for you and us in this involvement. Because when the phone does come up, we don't know who it is. We just see a phone number for most of the time. So these are the... First of all, let me say, absolutely, we deserve the 95%. Everything is great. We're doing our best and much better than I'm sure many others are. But that doesn't mean we can't refine this if we have to keep it up in the future. And that's why I'm bringing up these points. Because without this, as I mentioned in some of my other comments to you, and it looks like I'm the only one that has any feedback, but I almost wonder, is the reason people aren't giving feedback because it's too difficult to figure out how to do that? Should I chat? How do I raise this? How is that documented? Those kinds of things. So I do think it's worth us as steering to say, just because our meetings go very quickly, is it quickly because they're more efficient, or is it quickly because nobody is speaking up?
Well, let's pose that question to the group. I mean, Ken, you've made your thoughts very clear, and they're very appreciated. Other people think about these virtual meetings.
What I would like to say is that I'm very grateful that the council staff has really done a lot of work reaching out to all of us, and including myself, to make it clear whether someone needs assistance. Unfortunately, because I also work in direct services, finding free internet is not an easy task. So I almost wonder, is this something that at some level we have to recognize that and teach whoever is not using a computer or whoever's not using a notebook, but they're using a phone, can we teach them how to, because you can do Zoom on your phone. You don't have to be on a computer. You don't have to be on the notebook. And that's actually what a lot of services providers are working with clients who we serve. They're being taught how to use your phone rather than finding or trying to find a source to provide internet access.
Thank you. Bill?
So I've come on video. So to be honest, I didn't really think that people cared more or less one way or the other, and I was hiding out in a 15-year-old incredibly dirty room, a quiet place, so that was part of the reason I was off, which is just to say, in terms of my personal experience, it may just make sense to actually say that there is a desire for people as much as possible to be on a video function, because, you know, I think a lot of people do a lot of meetings, are happy for the break, and maybe just assume other people are as well. So maybe just, if that's the will of the group, just suggest it.
So Bill, I just might note, is there some way you can identify your phone number? Because all we see is your phone number. We don't see that it's Bill Bloom.
Oh, I turned on the video. You don't see me now?
I see your face, but I'm saying when you are not on,
So I'm just saying, I can turn it on. I didn't realize that people cared either way. Chatting with somebody else.
But again, Bill, it's when you can do something that it identifies you, that it's you rather than just a phone number.
Oh, I see. Right. Is there something else I could do there? I don't know. I'll try.
I just did that for you. Ken, you're a genius. You have really inspired me to just go into participants and see if I can control Bill's name. And I can.
Great.
I'm going to try to do that to start of each meeting. I love having more power, and this now gives me the power to name people. So,
and that's a perfect example that answers all those issues and questions.
Yeah. Love it. Thank you.
And I would just say, for other than that, just people coming on Zoom when they speak is maybe all that we ask. You know, so in other words, they can have the picture, handsome picture of themselves or whatever. But when they speak, that they come on Zoom and speak as kind of a standard. Do people understand what I'm suggesting? Kind of like what Bill just did.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned it.
I think that is something that the co-chairs can certainly speak to at the start of a meeting.
Mark, I think you're now muted.
I'm not muted. Can you hear me? Yeah, I can be heard by most. Okay. So I think that a co-chair should certainly feel free to request that. I know that when I meet with my team weekly, I insist on it, much to, I'm sure, they're... but I, as council staff, since I'm facilitating this Monday's meeting, I would actually feel comfortable requesting that of council members. I think that should best come from leadership. So perhaps during announcements, if one of the co-chairs agrees with Ken, or even if just a council member like yourself, Ken, feels that this is a good way to communicate, can you just say it and then put that out there? You're on mute, Ken. I can't hear you.
There we go. My point is, I don't want it just to be about Ken saying this. If we don't agree, then fine, people will have to do it. I'm just trying to come up with a way to make this more comparable to what our live meetings are.
Absolutely.
So if the co-chairs, if this steering doesn't believe that's something worth doing, you know, let's not do it.
Yeah, well, that was my invitation, though, is like, if a co-chair agreed with this perspective, or if a council member felt strongly enough about it, then I would ask that they make that clear during an announcement, that we would love it if you could turn your video on when you speak. To me, it's not that hard of an ask. You're not actually asking them to have their video on the entire time, at least if I understand that correctly, but at least when they speak, to turn video on. So like I said, like, if a co-chair feels comfortable to make that announcement, I think that would be great. Or if a council member.
Or add it to the agenda.
Well, that would have to be the steering committee would have to determine that that's
right.
What they want. That makes sense. Again, Ken, I do want to make clear that I'm not disagreeing with you. I prefer to see people, but I also don't feel comfortable as council staff mandating that. Because I'm support staff. Okay, any more questions or thoughts on this? We have one more agenda item and we have 5 more minutes to go. Okay, well, if there are more thoughts, that question is a standing question on our evaluation. So this can be discussed literally every month and perhaps should. These are very unusual times and we should always be thinking how people can connect and engage better during this unusual time that appears to have no end in sight. Okay, moving on to the final thing, which is to look at the agenda for Monday. Let me get that, it'll be just a moment. Where are you? There you are. Okay. Sharing screen. Okay, can you all see the agenda? Hopefully yes, okay. It's pretty straightforward because it has to be bare bones due to a number of things not being, two things not being available. So we have our call meeting to order. This one will be our conflict of interest designation. It doesn't impact literally anyone in this meeting, but what I'll be doing is sending an email out to those it does impact. These are service providers who are funded by Ryan White Part A, and letting them know what their conflicts are because they won't have obviously their card in front of them that they can declare their conflict of interest. Everyone else, I'll just be asking you to state your name and also that you have, literally, I have no conflict of interest, if you recall from the last summit. After that, agenda, minutes. Minutes will be the only thing really that's, we're looking back to the prior month, the only kind of update in any way. Announcements, public comment. Then we have Sharon coming in with the EPI report. Then we have our annual service summary from John Ainsley. Then we're going right into Dean presenting the scenarios for reduced, flat, and increased. And for reduced, he should have probably three different ones. I think he does 5, 10, and 15% cuts. And then we'll actually vote on that in a separate agenda item. Those motions will be on the floor coming from steering. And then finally, we'll be looking at the aggregate of the service category prioritization. Allie's already put that together for me. Thank you, Allie. And we'll vote on it. And that's the meeting. It should be 2 hours. I really tried my best to make it 2 hours and not go over, since I had to keep in mind that we might be going over in October. Any questions on this agenda for Monday? Pretty straightforward. It's very different than the usual summit agenda, so I'm not even calling it a summit. Okay, well, if there's no more questions, then this meeting is adjourned. Have a good rest of your day, everyone. It's nice seeing you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Take care. Bye,
everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, bye, everyone.
Ken, do you want to stay on with me, buddy?
Thank you.
Can I stay on to watch?
You can stay. I'm not gonna be doing anything bad. I just want to talk more in depth about Ken's concerns.
Remember the recording.
Like I said, I'm not going to be being mean or saying anything bad. Gosh, trust's terrible with some of you.
I don't think he was suggesting that you were. He was just saying you could turn off the recording.
Oh, is that what he was saying?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen, let me know if I can help.